I could take a little more of that. Amen. Singing that good, I just think I don't want to get up there and preach after that. Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you, Lemming family. We appreciate you. It's good to have Miss Alicia back with us. Miss Alicia came here last Sunday morning and she got really feeling bad, had to go to the emergency room. And we're glad, praise God, she's doing better. But I want to tell the church, Alicia has decided she's going to stay on full time as our music director. So we'll be voting. Obviously, you know, the church votes on that, but that's a recommendation. I knew y'all would be excited about that. We're going to do that in the next conference, and we've got some other things, obviously, that we're going to be talking about. You know, we've lost several deacons just since we called our deacons in October. So, you know, we're going to be looking at calling a couple of more deacons, possibly, and a Sunday school superintendent. I want to share some good things with you. We've got Children of the Promise. What's the date they're coming? February 19th, Children of the Promise going to be here with us. For homecoming, we have Jeff and Sherry Easter coming back. So we are excited about that. And we have Gold City coming in September. I'm going to have to pull this tie off right now. And Jonathan Wilburn called me this week. He's looking for, wanting to know when we're going to have him back. So I think that's what it is. We need to confirm that, but we're going to try to get a list of those together for you, all the events. We try to share that with you. And I know the ladies out here at the front do a great job of keeping up with those things. The, you know, Spring Fling is coming up. And also we have a Wild Game Banquet April the 22nd. We're going to have Following Our Father. Mark and Dan Witt are going to be back with us. They were here about 5 years ago. We're also going to have the servers. Last time Mark and Dan Witt came, we had 35 decisions for Christ. They present the gospel in a powerful way, and that's really what this is all about. Now, folks, we've had celebrities here. You know, I've got my picture taken with Mountain Man and with DJ Shockley and Otis Nixon and all those people. But I'd much rather, you know, I've heard it said, draw the net than draw the crowd. We want to see people saved for the honor and glory of God. We're excited about what God's doing. Believe that God still can. Amen. God's not dead, God's not lost, and I want you to understand something. God's not surprised at what's going on in this world. He sees the past, present, and the future at the same time. He has all power, he's all-knowing, he's got a plan for you and I as his children. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day in my office, and he said, you know, you ever heard anybody say any day above dirt? You know, like, oh, you know, I'm still alive. Well, when I leave here, I got a better place to go. Now, I'm not saying that I'm, I want to go to heaven when God is ready for me to go to heaven. Whether that's today or 20 years from now, I just hope if I live another 20 years, my joints don't get worse. Any day above dirt, he said, well, the best things in life that I'll ever experience are waiting on me in eternity. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't need to walk forward and do God's will. Folks, things have changed. I want to read some scripture to you this morning out of Ephesians chapter number 5, and then I'm going to go over to, God willing, to a Hebrew or Philippians in just a minute. But obviously, I've got a lot of scripture here that we'll share with you. But I want to preach this morning or share with you this morning for just a few minutes on walking with Jesus in 2023. What does it look like? What does it mean? Here's the main thing that I want you to understand, church, is you got to keep walking. You got to keep going. You can't just stop. You can't stop because of things that are going on in this world that you don't like or things are going on that discourage you, and there's plenty of them, and we'll talk about some of those. But you got to keep going. You know, I want to read this scripture, and I'm going to read it and just concentrate on a couple of verses. But I want you to listen to what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the times that they were living in when he wrote this letter. He says this in the first verse of the fifth chapter, and I'm going to read through the 17th verse. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor.
But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient or suitable, but rather the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world, and walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodliness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all these things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly or cautiously, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, some strong words and some strong verses. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, there's no use in reading that. People are not going to accept that. You know, and I've even had people say, you know, you're really a little bit too old-fashioned in your way of thinking. I remember one time I was on a job site in 1985, and I was actually helping build a church. And I had the guy try to convince me that what's written in the Bible didn't apply to our day because Jesus didn't walk in 1985. And I just listened to him. Of course, I was just a young man, maybe 17, 18 years old, but I had been raised by giants. The men that I were around were men of God that loved God and men that give an example to me. And the example was so strong and it was so real. And God had saved my soul and the Holy Spirit lived in me. Folks, I want to tell y'all something. God's not changed. Why would you even mention the time? Why would we read scripture like this? I want you to understand something. Times have changed. We're living in a world today that doesn't understand what time it is. When you turn on the news, if you're willing to watch the news, and especially get past some of the garbage that's in the United States where all they want to do is argue back and forth, maybe go somewhere else and get some news, and understand that in this day and time that you and I are living in, we are living in the last days. We're living in the times that the Bible talked about and the things that would happen right before the return of Christ. Now, I read those verses to get down to the 16th verse where it says, redeeming the time. And here's what that means. It means making the most of or taking full advantage of every day that you have. You see, I'm at the point in my life that, you know, we had a birthday celebration this morning, and we've got an 18, and we've got a 20, and we've got a 39 again. And, you know, I'm here today, and I'm celebrated just a few weeks ago my 57th birthday. Now, in some ways, looking your way, I still think I'm 25. But when I roll over in the morning and my shoulder won't let me raise my arm above my head, I realize I'm not. But I've seen enough in my lifetime that I can tell you that as I look around me and I realize in life the people that I love, the people that are close to me, the people that are lost, the challenges of life, that every day that I have going forward is a gift from God. And I need to make the most of it and do the best that I can with it. You know, I had a guy come in my office this week and he mentioned something and he said some comment about every day above dirt. And I said, well, you know, that's true. However, I said, when I leave here, I'm going to my heavenly home. And I said, I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord in a glorified body. And I'm not going to hurt, I'm not going to ache, I'm not going to have any pain. I'm going to see my loved ones, and I'm going to be with Jesus. And he just looked at me and smiled. I don't know if he expected a sermon, but, you know, I just didn't mind sharing with him.
That's right. Amen.
Because I'm not ashamed of it. You know, if they're going to push inclusion and diversity on you, don't be afraid to tell them about Jesus, because your opinion matters as well. And I've got to where if they want me to be involved in this, they're going to hear about it, because I'm not ashamed of it. You see, times have changed. The world is changing. What has been accepted in the world is changing. But here's what I want you to understand, and we're going to get down to the second scripture in just a minute, but here's what's very important. God has not changed. The Bible that I read reads the same as it did when I first picked it up when I was just a young man. God's word has not changed. Now I'm going to give you some scripture, and you can mark these and you can go back and read them. But as I tell you that God has not changed, number one, God's word has not changed. In Psalms 119, verse 89 to 90, the scripture says this, "Forever, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness unto all generations, and thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Here's what I want you to understand. Forever, God's word is established, and it will not change. God will not go against his word. We're living in times today that people say, well, what's written is not effective, and it's not, it's not basically a current, and it's not applying to our day and time. The reason that people say that is they've gone away from God. They're distant from God. They're not ready to be in the presence of God. And if you don't want God, you're not going to have God. But God's word has not changed. Let me give you one that I really like, and I like this one tremendously because I need it for myself. That's God's character. God's character has not changed. You know, I like to be around people that don't change. You ever been around somebody and you see them, and every time you see them, they're different? You don't know if they're going to be serving God or not. You don't know if they're going to be your friend or not. You don't know if their testimony is going to be different or not. I want to tell you something. God's character does not change. He's the same God that my grandparents served. He's the same God. How many of you have a granny? You got a granny. Do you remember somebody that prayed for you, that told you about the Lord, that told you you were wrong when you were wrong? We still need somebody in our lives like that. I got one. His name's Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which will come, the Bible says, and lead you and guide you in all things. Here's some scripture in Malachi, Old Testament, chapter 3, verse number 6. It says this, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Amen. Let's go to another one in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I mean, you know, when we say the Serenity Prayer, we like to say forever and ever and ever. I want to tell you something. He's not going to change. He's God. His character's not changed. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise of the immutability," that means the unchangeableness is what immutability is. Get that right. "Of his counsel," he said, "he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchanging things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." You see, God does not change. His character doesn't change. Could you imagine if God changed? You know, a lot of us have had people in our lives that change. You know, it's a shame of it. It happens all the time. Sometimes people look at you today and they say, "I love you." And they say, they look at you tomorrow and they say, "I just don't love you anymore." Could you imagine? Hey, I've done enough that if I got what I deserve, God would turn his back on me and say, "I don't love you anymore. I don't need you anymore. I've got somebody else that can do it. I've got somebody that'll be less trouble. I've got somebody that I don't have to deal with all the time." I thank God that he still loves me today, and his character hadn't changed, and he has not given up on me. Amen. How about this? God's promises do not change. I like that. I like it. I like it. Down at where I work, we got this little retirement plan. Now, folks, it's not the military. It's not the federal. It's not the government. It's not the county. I wish it was. You know, the rule of, what is it, the rule of 80? I'm working on the rule of 100, and I'm still not there. Well, we got this little retirement plan, and they got these disclaimer down at the bottom. At any given time, this could be absolved. It could be taken away. You know, we could go bankrupt, or we could sell to somebody else, or well, we could go through something where we just don't have the cash flow, and you look at it. Well, here's what I want you to understand. God has no enemy so powerful that they can take away the promises of God. What he said in John chapter 14, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again. There's not enough devils in hell to keep you and I as the children of God from receiving the promises that God has for us. My retirement is secure in the Lord. And I'm going. Hebrews 6:18 said it was impossible for God to lie. And then in 2 Peter, another place, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, folks, I like that. No, that's not changed. Let me give you something else. God's love has not changed. You know, some of us, a lot of us, we have love for people. You see, one thing that I believe that God does, just like he told Peter over there, he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. And then, of course, it talks about God's children in one place that ought to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Here's what I want you to understand. You get saved by the grace of God, you're going to have a love for God's people. That's just part of being a Christian. And no doubt you love your children. No doubt you love your family. But let's just look at it and just be real. There's times that love's been tested. There's times that sometimes the people in our lives have done things that hurt us so deeply and pull us down so far. But even though they've gone to those depths, even though that pain is there, guess what? You still love them because love is something that goes all the way to the depths of the heart. Can I tell you that God's love has not changed? And I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. We're going to come back to this in just a minute. There ain't nothing you can do, nowhere you can go, no sin that you can commit that's going to cause God not to love you. God's love has not changed. That's good. That's good right there. God's holiness has not changed. Who'd want to serve a God that looked at the world and said, I know y'all don't want my word. I know y'all don't want to follow the paths that I have directed in the word of God. So I'm just going to let you live the way you want to live. It'd be about like having a pastor that'd say, you know, y'all know I don't live right, but let's just all have a good time. I'm not that guy. God's holiness has not changed. How about this? God's authority, God's power, God's position has not changed. Sometimes people come up to me and they talk about, and I went to Bible college, but I also went to secular college when I was about 35 years old. Folks, I'd already been preaching a long time. I took a public speaking class and could not wait for my turn. I spoke on domestic violence, and somehow I had scripture in that. And then I had to go for 15 minutes, and I spoke on the contrast of creation and evolution. And I poured the gospel on them. And the guy, after I got through, he said, you had an agenda, didn't you? I said, praise God. Amen. There was a girl in the class that got up and spoke on wicked. If she can do it, I don't mind telling you about Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this, and I'm going to move on. I'm excited this morning. I got to keep going. But you know, every now and then we hear somebody, they're involved in witchcraft, they're involved in Wiccan, they say they're a witch. I want to tell you something, folks. God created all things, even the devil. And if you're following the devil, you're following a being the Bible says is going to be cast into the hell and the lake of fire, and he has no power unless that is given to him by God. God's the Father. God's going to take us to eternity. You're going the wrong direction. I serve the living God. I told y'all one time I was at work and I had this girl, she didn't like me. She said she was a witch. She called me into her office and just slid the door open like that. She said, look at that. And I looked in there.
She said, "That's you." She had the voodoo dogs. It was me. She had pins sticking in that thing. And I just looked at her and leaned across her desk. You know what the Lord told Jeremiah? He said, "Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." I leaned across her desk and I quoted a couple of verses of scripture and I said, "I know where that power comes from." You could have turned, she turned so white that I thought she was going to pass out. You know why? Because the devil's in hell of fear and tremble because they know that there is one God. That's what the Bible says. So in the midst of these times, what does God want us to do? God wants you to keep walking with Jesus. He wants you to keep walking with Jesus. And now, when we think about it, how do we walk forward? Folks, let's consider Paul's example. Paul gave us examples. He wrote this scripture to the Ephesians. He also wrote a letter to the Philippians. And he begins to talk about all the things that he suffered and all the things that he gave up for the cause of Christ, to follow Christ. And, you know, he was a man who was educated. He was a man who was a leader in the army. He was a man who persecuted the church. And he gave up everything for the cause of Christ. And it cost him. But if you come down here, he talks about what he had obtained and what he had obtained in life and of what he gave up. And he begins to say in the 12th verse of the 3rd chapter, he said, "Not as though I had already attained or achieved, either were already made perfect or complete. But I follow after, if that by that I may apprehend or pursue that for which also I am apprehended of in Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or have obtained, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before," he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He said, "What I've done is I've taken all those things that are behind me and I've recognized they're behind me and I put them in their proper place and I'm going to keep pressing forward even though I've been persecuted, even though I've been stoned, even though I've been rejected, even though I've lost things that I had, my position, my stature, even my financial position, I'm going to keep pressing toward the prize." Because this is not all there is. Heaven is waiting, and Jesus is calling. We got to keep walking. We got to keep moving. We got to keep going. We must press on in spite of some things. And I want to give you just a couple of things, and it's not late. But I want to give you just a couple of things. I mean, the reality of it is the past 3 or 4 years have been a challenge. Been a challenge for every person here. We've suffered loss. We've suffered with dealing with all the things that are going on in this world. And what I think God wants us to do is he wants us to press on in spite of our disappointments. Amen. Folks, we've been disappointed, haven't we? Disappointed by the trials of life. Disappointed by the things that come our way that we don't understand. You know, I've gotten to the point, I've heard it said, you know, it can't get any worse. People begin to say that. I say, stop, stop. We do not know what tomorrow holds. There's so much global unrest, we have no idea what's going to happen in the economy. I've had people try to say, "Oh, what's your forecast for next year?" I said, "I don't know." The only thing that's certain is uncertainty. You know, we've been disappointed. The trials of life. Sometimes disappointed by people. You know, we got to keep going and we got to keep serving God. How many times have I seen it where you try to reach out and you try to help someone, but you can't? You know, working in Celebrate Recovery Ministry and working in a church and trying to be able to pastor someone in this world, in this time, in this age that we're living in, I want to tell you something, folks. Sometimes there's disappointment. Sometimes there's an opportunity that you think a person can change, and rather than being able to see them walk and serve God, you end up doing a funeral. And I want to tell you, as a pastor, that's been tough. That's been difficult. It's something to be able to try to serve God and to be willing to do what God wants you to do. And you put your whole life and everything at the feet of Jesus, and all of a sudden, even your children, they disappoint you. I mean, I've known people that keep coming to the house of God, and they're carrying loads that are so heavy that if you understood what they are, you'd wonder how in the world can they keep coming. It's because of a walk and a relationship with God. Just like Paul, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, church family is important. A lot of you, many of you realize that sometimes church family is closer than your natural family because everybody in your natural family may not want to serve God the way you do, and they may not want to be around you just because of what you represent. It's just like the scripture that I read at the beginning of this message. I didn't elaborate on any of it, but the reality of it is sometimes just the presence or the word of God is enough to be convicting in our lives without anything being added to it. Sometimes we need to press on in spite of our disappointments. Sometimes we have to press on in spite of our heartaches. You know, there's been a lot of heartache at Hiram First Baptist Church. When I begin to look at our board out here and I see all the great people that we've lost, all the people that are so dear, that are founding members of this church and deacons of this church and young people and older people and people that are so important, and we look at it and, you know, it's a husband, it's a son, it's a family member, it's a heartache. How do you keep going? I saw a post of a lady over at Lake Wise that lost a little boy this past summer, just slipped off into the edge of the water, and they got him and they took him and they life-flighted him, and they were showed a picture of his room, and there were a prayer request all over the back wall, and mom and daddy were praying. Have you ever begged God to do something and it just didn't work out the way that you wanted it to? You know, sometimes what we go through is we get to that point in our life and we say, God, where are you? I prayed and you didn't hear me. God, where are you? I asked you and you didn't do it. But the little boy's mother came on Facebook and made a comment for everybody. She said, I am not losing my faith and you don't lose yours. My son is in the presence of God. And just like David, one day I'm going to be with him. And if you believe that, then you keep walking and you keep pressing on. And you keep serving God in spite of your heartaches. Now let's just be real for just a minute. You ever hurt so bad that you didn't feel like you could talk to God? Bible talks about in one place that His Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered out of our mouth. Every person in this house has suffered disappointment. Every person has suffered heartache. You know, my mother lost a little girl. Her name was Wendy. When she was 3 years old, she died of cancer. My dad was a bivocational pastor, pastoring the church next door to our house. I was just 7 years old when my sister passed away, but I still remember it just like it was yesterday, the things that we went through trying to take care of her. For 1 year, my mother went and sat on my little sister's grave. When she took me to school, she would go sit on the grave and come back and pick me up, and that's where she sat all day long. Now, I want to tell you something. She was saved by the grace of God. She knew God, but she did not have the same relationship with God that she had prior. Why? Because she was hurting so much. She was just like Job when he sat down among the ashes and he scraped himself. Have you been there? I've been there. I've been there when I questioned God. Yes, I have. Said, God, I don't understand. I've been there when I say, God, I'm hurting. God, I've been there when I say, God, you didn't answer this prayer like I wanted you to. But I'll tell you what happens. Inside of us, there is a longing to be close to God. There's a longing to be in God's presence. And until we're in the right fellowship with Him, we will never be as content. And what happens is that grace of God begins to pull on us, and He's drawing us to Himself. The Bible says to draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. And you get up and you take a step toward God, even though you don't understand everything, because you know, even though you don't understand, He is God. And what happens is you take a step toward Him, and He steps towards you, and He wraps your arms around Him, and He wraps His arms around you, and you keep walking. You don't quit. You don't quit because you're disappointed. You don't quit because of heartaches. You keep walking. Because your heart longs for that closeness and that relationship with God. A couple of more things. Keep walking in spite of failures. If you've been saved very long, you're going to have a failure. I got saved when I was 12. I may have said this last Sunday. I went out in the parking lot and got in a fight with my sister. One of the deacons come over and said, "Didn't you get saved?" I said, "Yeah, whop." You're not perfect. You're not going to be. But you need to hear this book. You need to hear the Word of God. Because you don't want God to give up on you. You don't want God to quit on you, and you don't want a preacher that don't love you enough to tell you the truth. You want to have God that cares enough about you that He'll meddle in the business of your life because He cares about you and He knows what's best for you. And if you really understood God's will, the only thing you'd want was God's will. But the truth is, sometimes we fail. I wish I could be perfect, but I can't. I've learned a little bit. You know, when my wife and I first got married, she'd say something I didn't like. I'd egg it on. Oh, I'd say something, it'd get worse. It would get bad. And I'd have thought, you ever said something, think, why did I say that? I've learned a little bit. I've learned sometimes you just keep your mouth shut. I'm learning a little bit. I'm talking about me, honey. I'm learning. You got to know yourself. You know, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you except that which is common to man, and with every temptation that has also been made a way of escaping, that's Jesus Christ. In another place, the Bible says, "You have not yet resisted against sin unto blood." Jesus did on the cross. Right. And the Bible says in another place that we ought to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's why I said that. Every person in the building, you know what your issue is. You know what Satan uses to pull you away from Him. And you need to be recognizing it, marking it, so that you can continue to grow in your relationship with God, so that your failures do not continue to trouble you and pull you away from God. But when they do, here's the last thing you should do. You say, "Well, I failed. I'm just going to quit." No. Absolutely not. When you fail, God's already got His arms wide open. All God wants to do is wrap those arms around you. One of the lines in the movie, Facing the Giants, there was a rebellious teenage high school boy that talked back to his daddy. He got saved on the high school football field when they had a revival. He walked into his dad's office where his dad was at, and there was a man there meeting with his dad, and he looked at his dad, and he said, "Dad, I apologize."
He said, I'm sorry for the way that I've talked to you. I'm sorry for the way that I've disrespected you. And his dad, just like you and I would be, his countenance fell. I want to tell you something. All daddy wants to hear, all God wants to hear is you to come and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I want to be right with you. God, I want to be close to you. That's all God wants. The man sat there and tear run down his face. The man that was meeting with him, he said, I'd give my right arm to hear my son say that. I want to tell you something. Jesus gave everything he had on the cross just so you can come to him when you have trouble. Don't let failure and guilt cause you to quit. That's what the devil wants. And I'll tell you, you're going to have failure. Now what we need to do is we need to press on, because there's a prize ahead of us. You know, it doesn't matter what you're able to accomplish in this life, what you have, how much you have, how great you are. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you lift your eyes as a Christian, you close your eyes in death and you lift your eyes in heaven. You're in eternity with the Lord. And I believe what the Bible says, that eye hath not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But it says God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Nothing here compared to what's there. Now, I told that guy in my office the other day, and I was just, he just smiled. I think he's a Christian, but he wasn't ready for what I was sharing with him. I said, I just want to do what I'm supposed to do while I'm here till I get there. Now, there's a lot of good here. There's a lot of blessings here. But I tell you how you're going to accomplish it. By walking with Jesus. Amen. You know, if you look at the obstacles that we faced, we've had COVID-19 and all that went with it. The masks, the restaurants not being closed, sick people, hospitals overrun, sometimes losing our loved ones. We've dealt with runaway inflation and dealing with all that's going on in our economy. We're dealing with all the global unrest and not knowing what's next. But I assure you, something is coming next. We're dealing with the agenda that's being pushed against us as Christians, to where what they would like for you to believe is God's word is not relevant anymore. But I want you to understand, God's not changed. And what God wants you to do is recognize the very best place for you to be is walking in the right relationship with him. You know, if you're here this morning and God spoke to your heart and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, here's something. I want to offer you something fantastic. It's free. Kendra shared with me a little bit coming down the road this morning about some of the people she's been ministering to, and they've been used to trying, having to try to work to be accepted by God. Can I do enough? Can I be enough? Can I give enough? Can I accomplish enough? It's free. All you got to do is come and accept it. And if your heart is heavy and you got things going on in your life, here's what I want you to understand. Just like that dad, when that little boy walked in there and he said, I'm sorry, Dad. That's all Dad wanted to hear. God's got his arms wide open right now. Where's Jesus? If you read your Bible, here's where it tells us he is. He's on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Because of what Jesus did for us, we can talk to God. And Jesus looks down at us when we come and pour out our hearts, and he says, God, that's one of mine. That's one of my children. I went to the cross for him. I suffered for him. When I was bent over that whipping stump, God, and they striped my back, one of those stripes was for him. Would you accept him? And God the Father can't help but look at you through Jesus. And he sees you like Jesus. Would you stand to your feet as Alicia comes to sing? Whatever God spoke to your heart about this morning, God's moving in a mighty way. Would you let God do something on your behalf this morning?
This life I have already come, but He keeping the grace and the strength to just keep pressing on. He's given a promise, and on every word His holy word has said, and holding His hand, I'll never fear whatever lies ahead. I'm gonna make it. He's that.
Amen. I'm excited this morning and to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm excited because Mike and Doris Lemming are coming to be members of our church this morning. We're glad to have them with us. Amen. Y'all got anything you want to say, brother?
Well, Alicia Tiss said yesterday, she said, "Now, y'all ain't coming just because I'm over there, are you?" Well, to tell you the truth, it's a big reason. But since we've been coming here, Bill Fleury wrote a song one time, said, "You want to please the father, brag on the son." Well, if you want to please the parents, brag on the kids. And y'all love her. And it makes y'all real easy to love. And y'all are some of the friendliest people that we've met. We just feel at home here. And we feel like we belong here. And if y'all accept us, we'd love to join you.
Amen. Get a move in a second that they be accepted. Move in a second, the 24th. All in favor, let it be known with saying aye.
Aye.
Amen.
I just want to tell them that when I was about 11 years old, I came down to what they used to call the old-fashioned altar and got saved. And it's something that I had never got over. Some people seem like they get over it, but I haven't. It's dear to my heart that he loved me first. And I have never gotten over it. I love him so much. And thank y'all for accepting us. Even before we joined, I felt a part of you. Love y'all. And I love Brother Joe.
Amen.
And honey, they ain't anybody that could touch that message this morning. I mean, it was a blessing.
Thank you, ma'am.